1323.
I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager.
A youth perspective on national current affairs. Following on last week's special for Domestic Violence Prevention Week in Queensland, today we're playing an excerpt from the documentary series That's What You Think. But first, some national and international headlines.
The New South Wales government has appointed 12 new alcohol and drug counsellors to work with juvenile offenders. The workers will be placed in detention centres across the state and are an outcome of last year's drug summit, where it was decided to put more money into assisting young people break the drug abuse crime connection.
And in Victoria, drug treatment service Odyssey House has warned that attention is being taken away from the lack of drug treatment centres because of the safe injecting house debate dominating drug discussions. Chief Executive Officer David Crosby says that there are not enough detox services available and that the efforts in prevention are still very poor.
Despite its disappearance from the news of late, mandatory sentencing laws are still being debated in the Senate. Independent Senator Brian Harradine said recently that attempts to abolish the laws should cover the demographics most affected by mandatory sentencing, Aboriginal people in their early 20s. He said that if the principle is that mandatory sentencing is an unjustified attempt to interfere with judicial prerogatives, then the principle should apply to adults as well as children.
Young people around Australia are being warned of the dangers of a drug that is being sold as ecstasy. The National Drug and Alcohol Centre has highlighted the dangers of the drug, known as PMA, after a man died recently at a three-day festival in Sydney. Centre manager Paul Dillon says PMA is often produced accidentally in an attempt to manufacture ecstasy. And university degrees are set to cost an average of $400 extra per year with the introduction of the GST. As HEX debts are linked to the Consumer Price Index, inflation caused by the GST will increase student debts. The National Tertiary Education Union is calling on the federal government to protect students from the increase.
A British report has found that children may be more vulnerable to the effects of microwaves emitted by mobile phones because children have thinner skulls. Younger people are now being urged to limit their mobile phone use. 1323 wonders how much longer mobile phones will be sold in toy stores marketed as a safety net for children and parents to stay in touch. Your child may have a brain tumour, but at least you'll know where they are at night.
It wasn't when I was born, it was more so when my brother was born. So I was about 6 or 7, about 8, around that time when it really started to kick in, and I'd never seen anything like it before. I didn't know how to react, and it was just kind of like, whoa, this isn't exactly right, is it, you know? It started getting to the point where he was starting to take it out on me, and my mum just said, look, I'm going to have to send you to your grandparents. It's only up the road, you know, but you'll be away from it and all. And I mean, that was hard for me because I mean, I really liked my mum and I really, you know, my brothers and sisters. And then a couple of years later, my sister ended up moving in with me. And the worst thing is that my brother has to put up with it. He's 14 and it still goes on to a certain extent. It's not as bad as it used to be. There aren't places for people to go once they've decided to leave. They might not have the support network. And the domestic violence order is a joke, you know. Yeah, you can get a restraining order, but it doesn't prevent him from getting a gun, staking you out, you know. Absolutely flying off the handle. So you've got the option of, okay, packing up everything and just moving, changing your life, changing your names. And a lot of people don't have money to do that. I mean, it was common in my house, have an overnight bag packed, a louver that was out so you could escape. That's not normal, you know, having to live in a situation like that, but that was what it was at the time, you know. When you're 9, you don't really have a lot to say. You don't really have a voice either, you know.
And I mean, the amount of people who just stay in situations where their parents are hitting them and they stay there because they haven't got any option, they've got nowhere to go, they haven't got the money, and it's frightening to go out there and try and do it.
Amazing expectations from them and to succeed and be the same as them. drugs.
When I was 6 years old, before we left Malaysia, my dad used to be an alcoholic and beat my mum up.
In society today, everyone is so angry and everyone's so on the edge that they just snap at nothing. And that's what I found with my dad, is I'd have to tiptoe around and just hope that I wouldn't trigger anything off, because once I did, he'd drink one weekend and he'd get into a fight, and then the next weekend it would all blow up and it would be hitting. And he was like, you know, my mum would leave and we'd be left in the house and he'd be trying to break her car apart, and I'd be out there like, you know, stop it, Dad, what are you doing? And he's, you stupid bitch, I hate you, I hate your mum, I hate your brother, I hate the whole lot of you. And it's just having your father look at you and just say, I hate you, like that was just awful. I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't have the friends that I have.
Ever since I did an assignment about capital punishment and things like that, and jails, I just thought, why the hell can't we put that money into making families better, but not in a conventional way? Putting money into making families feel whole and counselling and giving more benefits to them so they don't have worries about money, so they beat their wife or shit like that, or have to have addictions, because a lot of it's cyclic. Like, a lot of people who beat their wives, their parents did exactly the same thing.
Gonna hurt my babies anymore. Not while I can do something about it. Oh, you want something to eat? You're a cook.
I think domestic violence is a really big issue, and young people are seeing it in their families, seeing it happen to their mums and dads, or seeing it happen to their mothers in particular. And often what happens is that cycle continues then when those children grow up, because they don't see any other positive ways of dealing with their feelings and dealing with emotions and dealing with anger. It's all they know how to do, and that's really sad, I think. I was in a domestic violence relationship for a few years, and I myself had seen it in my family, and my partner had seen it in his family. So yeah, that's why we found each other. I never before that time could really understand why women would stay with partners who hit them and were violent towards them, but when you are in that situation, you can understand it, because if you really do love somebody, sometimes you are willing to make one incident, and you've got all this emotional involvement.
What support did you receive?
I didn't really look for support. I just felt there was... Yeah, I didn't have anyone to talk to. I didn't want to talk to my friends because they were just... I felt they would tell me to leave. I didn't want to talk to my mother because she would probably tell me to leave. And I suppose deep down I didn't really want to leave, so I didn't really have any support.
My spirit can survive living with you for 18 years, but I can survive anything. Maybe you taught me that.
If there's any advice I can give to anyone who's out there who has children and is staying in that situation, it's don't. It's get out, and you know, your children should be the most important thing to you. And I understand that the house probably is as well, but, you know, when push comes to shove, you've really got to think, what kind of effect is this having on my children, you know? Is it stuffing them up psychologically, emotionally making them unbalanced, you know?
I think that we need to look after our young people today. Once you find a safe environment, everything works for you.
Just being taught was classed as violence and stuff. I mean, there's school kids have a fight in a schoolyard, and they wouldn't really know that that's classed as assault. They could be put up for assault charges.
There are supports for women in domestic violence situations, but for young women, they feel that it's just not really for them. They think going to a women's refuge or talking to a support worker from a refuge is really for women who are married and who have kids and who need to
get away. But for young people, I suppose if there was people to talk to at their uni or at college or at school, people they could talk to about lots of different things, at least if they know there's somebody around, then they might be more likely to talk to them if they feel like they're not going to be judged and things like that. There are like young women specific domestic violence workers and things like that, but it's just that a lot of people don't know that they're there.
I don't have a problem when I'm walking around because I've done self-defence martial arts, and so when I walk around I just, if someone tried to do anything, I would fight them off, and I know that. That's just something I know. And I'm thinking about having, like, a meeting for young females and getting them all together and just seeing how they feel walking around on the streets at night, whether they feel safe or not, and then seeing whether people would want to have self-defence classes based for females walking around on the streets at night, how to look after themselves, how to feel assertive, how to feel like they have the right to be there.
He pulled out his filthy member, as usual, too preoccupied with his own dick to notice my knife. I gave him a vasectomy he'd never forget. He couldn't believe it. Didn't even realise that the plop, plop sound was his testes hitting the floor. Then I shoved it neatly into his jug. He pissed his stupid blood for a while on his feet. Then he slumped. Thud. I loved the sound they made when they hit the floor.
You know, you always think, oh, yes, I can handle this myself. And, you know, what's the point of talking about it with someone? Well, you know it, you're in the wrong situation at the wrong, right time. You know, it shouldn't be happening. But because you do feel really alone when that stuff's happening to you. And it's not as if I would have gone to a support group or anything and said, oh, this is what happened to me. But maybe more slogans around the place, more about what is accepted and what really goes on, I suppose, behind all the closed doors. Yeah. I think telephone lines are a good thing, because if you got a telephone line like a 1-800 number, it should be right there in the front of the phone book. People go into schools and talk to young women about it from like grade 8 onwards or even younger, so that kids who are seeing their mum being bashed up every night and they get really scared, they can like ring this number, a general violence number or help number, and you can ring that number and you know that if you're in trouble or if you need to talk to somebody, there'll be somebody there, and they can then give you maybe another number for somewhere to stay, things like that if you need help. But it would need to be 24 hours. I think that might be the best type of way of making something accessible, a 24-hour phone line, because nearly everyone has access to a phone nowadays. It's handy to have a common number in your wallet rather than... You might have, there might be a support worker at your uni or at school, but when you need them at midnight, they will be asleep, you know?
Reclaim the night, reclaim the night. Reclaim the night, reclaim the night. Reclaim the night, reclaim the night. Reclaim the night, reclaim the night.
Reclaim the night, I think, is great. You can just go out with your girlfriend and know, okay, this is cool. I can walk down this street. I'm with a whole heap of other women. Who's going to take on an angry bunch of women, you know? And, you know, it's always good to see toddlers, little kids and stuff. And even young male toddlers, I think, is a really good thing, because I think males today just need to get in touch. You know, a lot of them are just, oh, I'm this big much. I think, who cares? As long as you understand that, okay, women want the right to go out and participate in whatever, you know, and we live in a violent society, we've got to start doing something to counteract that.
Not your right, our right, our right. 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 Reclaim the night, reclaim the night. Reclaim the night, reclaim the night. Reclaim the night, reclaim the night.
And that's all for this week.
Both Lucas and I are currently in Sydney at the moment, attending the National Youth Media Awards, for which 1323 is a finalist in the Best Feature category, Metropolitan. More about that next week.
1323 is produced by Lucas Moore and Heather Anderson in the studios of 4ZZZ Brisbane for ComradeSat, and receives funding from the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Contributions are welcome. Write to PO Box 509, Fortitude Valley, 4006, Queensland. Email heather.com. at 4ZZFM.org.au.
1323.